B-Pod Studios.
Today on Talkin' Rock with Meltdown.
Three Doors Down drummer Greg Upchurch is my guest today on the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown podcast. He has a new song he put out while in quarantine called Skin to Skin. He plays the drums, the bass, the guitar, even sings. I asked him if Brad Arnold or Chris Henderson from Three Doors Down have anything to be worried about.
No. No, that's a definite no. Yeah, I'm first and foremost a drummer.
Right.
I mean, that's my bread and butter.
He also tells me about his time playing with Wesley and Puddle of Mud before joining Three Doors Down.
It was problems. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I've been in touch with Wesley since, and he's doing great, by the way.
And since Greg is from Oklahoma, of course I had to ask him about the Tiger King.
Everybody's known about this cat, and it's just like, it's just funny. Like, I saw this Netflix thing coming in, and I was like, oh no, they could do the old Netflix show on this crazy bastard. And then I see it, and it's everywhere. I'm like, what a great time to have your show air.
That's just for starters. And a great conversation with drummer Greg Upchurch today on Talkin' Rock.
This is Talkin' Rock. Talkin' Rock. Your backstage pass to some of your favorite rock artists. Here's your host, Meltdown.
Yes, another good one for you on tap today with Greg Upchurch. We talk about a lot of things, including his time with Chris Cornell, which was pretty interesting. He did play with Chris Cornell around the turn of the century, right before he decided to join this unknown band called Audioslave. Never heard of them, but I'm sure they're pretty decent. Anyways, Greg's got some great stories. His interaction with Bill Murray, we get into. And, of course, his new song, Skin to Skin, which we'll get into here in just a minute. Real fast, I've got some great interviews locked and loaded for the next week. I'm trying to get two Davids on this week, and that's all I'm going to say. I've got some interviews already lined up for next week as well, so check back and subscribe and give this a 5-star rating on Apple and iTunes and whatever else you get out there, whatever you stream on. I do appreciate you guys checking this out. Just trying to make things a little bit normal in these strange and weird times and these circumstances, which is what Greg did as well with this song, Skin to Skin, which he'll tell us about coming up here in just a few minutes. But first, Greg, you're not really used to being the one interviewed for the most part, are you?
About other people and bands, yes.
But not about yourself.
No. This is the first time I've been started doing anything like this, which has been, like, I posted something about that. Like, it's a much easier because I know all the info. It's like, well, tell us about the show coming up in Toronto. It's on Thursday, you know? I mean, it's a lot, you know, more relaxed and easier, I guess, for me.
Yeah, there you go. And so you got this this track out, Skin to Skin, of course, about the quarantine and being, sheltered in place and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, how did this exactly come about? Because obviously, you know, you're holed up like the rest of us are. I mean, I'm at work right now. But just tell us the process and how this came about.
Well, I was actually in the process of opening up a coffee shop in Oklahoma, where I'm from, a little town. And it's like a little resort town and, you know, just kind of setting up, you know, as a musician, you want to set up my retirement, I guess you'd call it. Like,
right.
What am I going to do when I grow up?
Right.
Kind of thing. And I pretty much finalized the loan. I got everything about ready to start building. And then the South by Southwest canceled. And I was watching it on the local news there. I was like, wow, that's pretty crazy. And then I drove back home to Nashville. And about 2 days later, they were starting to shut things down. And it was here. And I immediately my coffee shop kind of crumbled to nothing. And I was like, because I'm definitely not opening up a small business now. So I didn't know what to do. So I was pretty depressed. And then this guy, he's in his 20s. He rents in my basement and he's an engineer. And the band has a studio like about a mile up the road. And I'm like, and he says, he's like, you should write a coronavirus song or a song about this. So I was like, okay. And I just went up and I started playing and I wrote it like in 20 minutes. It was crazy. It was the easiest song I've ever had written because I knew what I was talking about and all I had to do was just say exactly how I was feeling. Mm. And it was the easiest thing I've ever had to, instead of like trying to make some story and some lyrics and, you know, broken hearts and, you know, and this was easy. I mean, I started with just kind of like with my son being trapped in there and then he going to the grocery store, what it feels like and how life's just kind of changed and, you know, for the time being. But it's also about like, okay, well, we got to move forward. You know, we got to have hope. We got to, you know, do what we like, I'm self-quarantined, but I, the beauty of it was being able to self-quarantine in a studio as well, you know?
Yeah, you're kind of lucky in that respect. So you shot the video, and it's kind of cool. You got the four little camera angles and stuff. You're playing all the instruments. Are Brad and Chris, should they be looking out for your talents or what?
No. No, that's a definite no. Yeah, I'm first and foremost a drummer.
Right.
I mean, that's my bread and butter. I mean, this thing kind of, I've never done anything like this. I've never sang before. I mean, I've written songs, but just for my own personal joy.
Right.
And then this kind of happened, and I followed through. You know, I've done demos, but then we were like, okay, well, let's see how good we can make this. You know, mm-hmm. we're not doing anything. Might as well. So I was like, listen to it, and it's hard because I'm so biased because I just wrote it, and I'm like, man, this sounds pretty good. I mean, it doesn't sound like me singing, so that's already a plus. And I'm like, it's, you know, so, I mean, who's to say I can't put it out on, you know, whatever. How do I put it on, how do I get it on Apple Music? How do I get it on Spotify? I didn't know. You know, I've always been the drummer in a band that was on a record label that you just did the drums, and they took care of the rest.
Right.
This is like, okay, I'm doing this myself. And obviously, there's hundreds of thousands of people that are doing the same thing, but I guess my song kind of struck a nerve with the time, and I was able to get it out so fast. Because I wrote and recorded this song in like three, it took 3 days. And I mean, just the whole thing, because I wrote it about 3 weeks ago, and this has been like crazy, you know, because I've been doing interviews about it. So apparently, people needed to hear something new that was kind of what we're going through. And I was like, man, because what made me think about releasing it in the first place is like, everybody is feeling this right now.
Right.
When is the last time everybody in the world pretty much is feeling the same thing?
Right. Yeah.
I mean, that's unprecedented. So I'm like, man, I got to capture an audience. You know, if I can get this out on everybody's home right now. So maybe they're listening to music, listen to the radio, listen to Apple Music or whatever, YouTube. And then the video was, I was like, you know, let's just make a video for it and just put cameras on me. It's me and the same guy in the basement. It's like, you get the camera, he's got a camera, so just film me doing this.
Now,
I mean, the whole thing costs me $30.
There you go. Yeah, see, they're perfect. Do you have like, right. you have like, obviously you got drums, but you got guitars and bass and mics and all that stuff at your house, eh?
Well, it's at the studio, which is, like I said, it's a mile up the road.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, okay.
And I had a key, so it's great.
There you go. So you just talked about, you know, writing this song and having to come together. I'm curious, how much writing do you do with Three Doors Down?
Well, I do quite a bit, actually. On the last record, I wrote a song, everything, lyrics and music and everything, and we tracked it, but it went on to the Target. Like, if you bought the record at Target, it was an extra song.
Like a bonus track or something, yeah.
Right, yeah. Right. And then I wrote music on one song on the last record. But, you know, it's different. Like, this was different for me writing this song because I was like, I'm not writing this for anybody. I'm not writing this with somebody in mind
right.
singing it or somebody in mind playing it. I'm just writing it and as if I'm going to sing it. And so that's how I approached this thing. And it was just so much easier when I'm like, okay, I'm just writing for myself. Do I like it? I don't care if anybody likes it. I like this. It's catchy.
Have the guys in the band heard it?
Yeah. I sent it to Brad and Chris just because I'm like, you know, obviously, check this out. I just did this, you know? And they were like, awesome. Wow. Holy, you know, that's you singing. Brad, the first thing he said was, you fucked up. You're getting the mic now on stage. Because I don't sing backgrounds. And he's like, man, you're singing backgrounds now. So I just did that. But, no, they're, you know, and then I think also, which is good, is like, I got a call from management saying, hey, Brad and Chris want to set up a writing session online through Zoom. So we've been getting together twice a day every week. So if nothing else, it sparks some inspiration. So I'm like, okay, let's get going. Let's write. We can't go out and play these shows right now. So until then, let's write some songs see if we can come up with a hit.
Yeah, right. How long have you been doing this Zoom writing session?
It started last week.
Okay.
I mean, right after I released this thing. Like I said, I think it kind of, you know, I don't know. I can't say that, but hopefully it did inspire them to kind of like, all right, well, let's get together. Let's do something, you know. Because, you know, when this started happening, and a lot of people are still in it, it's like a funk, you know, whatever you want to call it. It's a weird, you don't know what day it is. It
right.
doesn't matter what day it is. there's nothing on there to reference it by, like, you know, oh, football's on, so it's Saturday or Sunday, or, you know, there's no reference point. So it's just like we're all just kind of living. So it's like to find something to do just kind of changes your whole, you can almost mentally pivot on like 180. I got direction now. I got something I'm going for.
Mm-hmm.
Something to focus on other than watching what, because the only thing on television is this coronavirus. That's it.
Right.
So it's kind of like either that or old episodes of Everybody Loves Raymond or something. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, we're living in like, we're living in like this replay time right now. It's like there's
it's
nothing
Groundhog Day.
New. Yeah. There's nothing new except for the news, you know, and outside of that, there's nothing really new. But yeah, it's funny. I was going to go down to Nashville there in the last week of March. And I was actually messaging back and forth with Brad. I was going to go ride my bike down there and do all this stuff. And Brad, in his way, he says, I'll damn sure pedal with you. And I'm like, cool, man. I can't wait to go down. And I had to cancel all that, you know, because of all this craziness that's going on.
Right.
But so you've been with Three Doors for 15 years. I didn't realize it was that long.
Yeah, I know. Neither did I. You know, because it's just like, wow, holy moly, 15 years. That's a long time to be. That's a long time for a band to be in existence.
Right.
Much less being one. But yeah, 15 years, because I started Three Doors in 2005. After the big Nickelback Three Doors Down Puddle of Mud tour thing, when the drummers all flipped around and did weird things.
That is funny, yeah, because people may not know the original drummer in Three Doors Down was Brad. And at the very beginning.
OG.
Right, exactly. Right. And then Daniel Adair came in, and then you. So that's it. It's like it's just you three guys. Daniel Adair, of course, went off to a Nickelback.
Right, after that tour. And I happened to call him up out of the blue, and he's like, oh, I guess you're calling about the gig. I'm like, what gig? He's like, yeah, I just quit Three Doors. I'm like, oh, really? And the only thing with Puddle of Mud was, you know, Wesley at that time was just such a, you know, he was problems.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I've been in touch with Wesley since, and he's doing great, by the way.
Yeah.
So, you know, we don't have any ill will towards each other, but it was just like, I thought that was best for my career. My wife was pregnant with my first kid. I'm like, man, I need, and I just, you know, stability. And then plus, you know, the Three Doors guys are all rednecks kind of, and I'm like from Oklahoma. I'm like, I kind of blend in with these guys. You know, really, a Canadian was in this band is beyond me, but hey, whatever.
You know, Brad said something one time on the bus when we were here. He was here in Detroit, and my son at the time was, I don't know, maybe 10 or 11 or something like that. And Brad mentioned the phrase, country is cornbread. And my son has never forgotten that phrase because you don't hear that kind of stuff here in Detroit. But, yeah, that's right. So, yeah, so people may or may not know that you did play with Puddle of Mud, and Wesley has had his ups and downs. I talked to him not that long ago, maybe 4 or 5 months ago, and he seems like he's doing well. I saw on your Facebook you got a picture with him in, like, 2018 or something. Is that the last time you saw him, or have you seen him since?
Well, I've talked to him since then, but that was the last time I saw him. They played a show up in Clarksville, Tennessee, which is about an hour away, and I had just gotten sober at that point. I was probably 3 years sober, and he had just started. So I wanted to make sure I wanted to go see him and, you know, tell him it's okay. You know, life is great this way. It's actually way better sober than all messed up. And just, you know, because it's kind of like addictive sobriety in a way. Like, you want other people to check it out when you see them that they need it. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So, and I love him. So, and I care about him because he really is one of the sweetest people in the world. And it's funny because somebody was like, yeah, I met him. He was a goofy bastard. He was high. I was like, no. If he's goofy, he's sober. I was like, when he's quiet and dark and weird, that's when he's messed up.
Mm.
So if he's goofy and he acts like a crazy man, he's fine. I mean, it's just, he's that way.
Yeah, I've always pulled for Wesley. I've met him and interviewed him a bunch of times, and he's always been great, you know. And it's like, it kind of bums me out when people, of course, they have to rag on him. It just seems like, you know how it is. Sometimes people just glob on whatever the newest rage is, and they start ragging on the guy. But I've always pulled for him and hoped that he would get better. So you're sober. I know Brad's sober, and Chris is sober. So it's kind of funny how this, I've been in this business now for 30 years, and I've seen bands at their lowest and I've seen bands at their best. And a lot of the bands, you know, nowadays, the Shinedown guys, you know, Wesley from Puddle of Mud. I mean, you just go down the list of bands that are now sober, you know, it's kind of crazy.
You kind of have to be. I mean, you just do. I mean, you can't go up there. I mean, there's one thing when I'm in my 20s and you're, you know, getting messed up every night and you can go up there and play the drums hungover, you know, and it's fine. And like now it's like, it's exhausting. I sleep normal hours. I play better. I mean, at least I feel I do, mm-hmm. you know, and nobody's arguing. No, you know, because that's a big thing is what with these bands is what happens is they get messed up. Somebody, a couple of guys or all of them, and you fight. And it's just, it makes it miserable. And then when you got everybody sober on the bus, we just watch movies and sports and go to bed. And we get along.
Now, how much did Brad and Chris help you with your sobriety, or didn't they?
Chris did. Brad wasn't so quite sober yet because it went Chris, then me, then Brad.
Gotcha.
And Brad was right after me. I think when he saw Chris do it, it was one thing. And then when he saw me do it, he's like, okay, if both of these guys are doing this, you know, and he knew, I mean, we're just alcoholics.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, we all know it, you know, we just deny it. And then, like I said, Chris tried to help me, and I, of course, as a drunk, I'm just like, no, I'm fine. One day, because the only way it happens is I woke up one day in the back of the lounge of the bus. I partied the night before, got drunk with Asking Alexandria or something. The band, a couple of guys in that band, mm-hmm. at a steakhouse outside of a hotel in wherever the heck, Wisconsin or something. And then I woke up in the back lounge of the bus, just like, I don't even remember getting back there. And I remember Chris walked back there, and I was like, I'm done. I told him, I was like, I'm done. Check me into wherever we got to go. Mm. And like the next week I went in and that was it. I mean, you have to make the decision yourself. I don't know how interventions work. That baffles my mind, but you know, you have to decide for yourself that it's worth doing it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. And Brad told me that he was just drinking on tour because he found himself bored all the time. He said, and now when he goes on tour, he says he tries to find things to do all day long. And he seems to really be, you know, happy and excited at the way he's living, too.
Oh, well, the last few tours we did have been great because all he wants to do is go to national parks. Mm-hmm. So we went to like Arches National Park, Sequoia. I mean, so now we're like, when we go on tour, we're like on vacation. We're like a family on an RV, or almost kind of like with these shows that we do in the middle of it. Cause we're like going around looking at parks and going through, you know, beautiful parts of the country. The bus drivers kind of hate it. Cause like we were driving to Denver. Well, guess what? We're going to Utah now.
Yeah.
You know, kind of thing. Cause we want to go look at this, you know? So, you know, that's been great because it's just, like I said, this has just fueled the band more to what we can do this for another 10, 15, 20 years.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. So how has sobriety helped your golf game?
It has not, actually. yeah. What it has helped is when I go playing golf with drinkers, I'm always, for sure, up buying them shots at the turn. I'm like, hey, you guys want cocktails? You know, anybody, it's on me. And then, you know, by the 17th hole, they realize, wait a second, you know. But, yeah.
I think you golfed in our outing one year, didn't you? The WRIF?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's right. Yeah.
There's a golf course right next to the venue, isn't it?
Yeah. It's about 3 miles or so. Yeah. It's pretty close.
Yeah.
So we do that every year. And yeah, that's been a lot of fun. Hey, I wanted to ask you, so how long did you play with Chris Cornell?
I played with Chris the tour was 99 and 2000. But I played with him the first time he did a solo song. He did a song called Sunshower for the movie Great Expectations. And that was the first time I played with him. And we recorded two songs in that setting with Sunshower and Ave Maria, which is on a very special Christmas. And that was, I was like 26 years old, maybe 25, 26. And I'm tripping. You know, I'm like, oh my God. Because we did this at the band I was in was called 11, and we toured with Soundgarden in 96. And he just decided to do a solo record at their house in LA. And then they just called me, hey, Greg, come down and do drums. So, yeah. And so I just drive down to the house, hanging out. It was just weird, you know, hanging out with him and like watching. I remember watching Bridge Over the River Kwai with him. We were all just in there watching that at night, just kind of like, this is just bizarre. You know, just hanging out with him.
Yeah.
And then it just got kind of normal. Because, like, when we did the tour, he didn't have a star coach or anything. It was band and crew, everybody on one bus the whole time. And we did, like, a year-long tour. But we were going to actually start a band. And then Audioslave happened.
And yeah.
That was like, for me. Audioslave was like, oh, no. And that's when I ended up going with Puddle of Mud. And the other two, Alan and Tasha, they ended up joining up with Queens of the Stone Age.
Gotcha. Yeah. You know, I was thinking about that today. I posted on my daily blog because now I'm doing one since, you know, we're in this strange time. But I posted an interview I did with Taylor Momsen the morning of the Soundgarden show because his last show was here in Detroit.
Yeah.
So I saw that show and I was always a big Soundgarden fan and stuff. For people that never met Chris and stuff, what did you take away from him?
He just kind of honestly it's just cool. I mean, he's quiet, he's calm, but he can be quite goofy when he knows that he's like in the back lounge of the bus and he's around people that he trusts.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as he walks in a room, it's like, as you know, I mean, if you met him,
yep.
I mean, you're like, there's no doubt who that dude is.
Right.
You know, he's like 6'4", 6'3", whatever, and just I'm straight, but man, he's a good looking dude. You're like, wow, he doesn't even look real. But yeah, I mean, he's the nicest guy for a rock star. He didn't really act like a rock star, but he didn't need to.
Right.
He was just like cool. I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to share my personal stories, but on tour, but he did some things for me that were just unique, you know, that were like, and like going to see American Pie in the theaters on a day off and just going to him with me and him going to an AMC like on a Tuesday afternoon and then looking at people, look at him and know exactly who it is. They don't even notice me, but I'm looking at them and they're going, holy shit, that's Chris Cornell.
Yeah, I've been around people like that before where you're kind of in the background. I remember walking through a casino with Bret the Hitman Hart and Hacksaw Jim Duggan and a couple of these other guys. I'm watching people's reactions around me, you know, and it's like, it's so cool because I don't, you know, they don't know who I am, but it's like, it's just cool. But yeah, Chris Cornell, I mean, Soundgarden to me, I can remember the first time I heard and played, Outshine. And it was just like, I'm like, this is unbelievable. And
they were the best for me of all those bands in that era. They were the best band for me. I mean, they were all, the other ones are great too, but they were my favorite.
Yeah. I think it goes Alice in Chains and Soundgarden for me, you know, but man, just, that's unbelievable. Hey, final thing here for you. Then we'll cut you loose and thanks for all your time.
Absolutely.
And I saw on your Facebook too, and this is great, your picture with Bill Murray behind you. And it's like, you got to tell me the story about, was this at a golf outing or at a concert? What was that at?
Nah, it was a party after his charity event, the Murray Brothers.
Okay.
I've done it a few years and it's a top notch golf charity event that they do. And, they had a party afterwards, you know, after the tournament, and they have like a house band kind of thing, but a bunch of different musicians are there sitting in. And I went up in there and sat and played drums. And I just remember walking off the stage and Bill grabbed me by the shoulder. And goes, nice job. And I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. And so he was standing behind me and I had my photo, my camera. I was like, because I didn't want to go up to it because everybody, it's their event. So everybody all night long is going up to him.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I'm not going to be that dude, but he's standing right behind me. So I pulled up my phone and I was like, I'll just take a picture of him behind him. So that way I've got a picture with him, you know? So it's kind of like the reverse photo bomb.
Right.
the exact reverse. I'm photo bombing. This guy doesn't know it, but you get the idea.
No, it was great. You know, I did that one time with Richard Rollins. It was kind of a joke. You know who that is? The dude from Fast and Loud?
Fast and Loud. Oh,
the TV show. Yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of know him a little bit. I mean, I'd done some stuff with him, but he was about 15 feet behind me and he busted me. And as I'm taking the picture, he kind of gave me the devil horns, you know, and it was kind of cool. But hey, by the way, being down in Oklahoma, do you know the Tiger King?
My brother actually knows more. Well, I've known about this guy for a long time.
Yeah.
And, you know, because I'm from where he's from, which is Wynnewood, is about, I don't know, 40 minutes from my hometown. It's funny, my hometown, Blake and Gwen Stefani live there now in this little town. Kind of weird. But it's like a resort town. But it's right up when you start getting into Arbuckle, like Oklahoma mountains. You would call them hills. But they've got, that's where he's at. And like, everybody's known about this cat. And it's just like, it's just funny. Like, I saw this Netflix thing coming in and I was like, oh no, they could do the old Netflix show on this crazy bastard. And then I see it and it's everywhere. I'm like, what a great time to have your show air. It's like when everybody has to be home and they're watching Netflix. You're like, what is this?
No
everybody
doubt.
Posts about it. I mean, it was purely accidental, kind of like this song, I guess.
Right.
But it was kind of like, I mean, just what a great opportunity for him and people seeing his story. But it's kind of like, I thought he was a crazy bastard. And I see all the people in it. I'm like, they're all crazy.
Did you watch the whole thing?
Oh, the day it came out. I binge watched the whole thing, in fact, straight through. Absolutely. I just, like, when the husbands and the boyfriend, I was just at the funeral.
Yeah.
So what he says is funeral. It's right. Just, the mom sitting there. I'm like, and then I show the mom. I'm like, oh, well, there you go. that explains a lot right there.
That's funny, because speaking of Gwen Stefani, I just talked to Gavin Rosdell last week, and he gave the funniest description of the show. He's like, I don't know what's going on. He's like, everyone's marrying everybody, and then there's some people are shooting each other. And it's like, he's like, it's total chaos. He says he was looking at it like a cat with his head tilted sideways trying to figure out what was happening.
And now his ex-wife lives down there right next to the dudes. I mean,
yeah, it's
so good for you.
So, well, you speak from, it sounds like, from experience about the whole Tiger King thing, so.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I don't know the guy, but I know all about, I've been knowing about him for a while.
Yeah.
Now, granted, I didn't know the details, so when I saw the show, I was like, oh, my God, I didn't know all this stuff. But, I mean, because he was just a crazy bastard by himself without a TV show.
Right.
I mean, especially there in Oklahoma, this gay man that's looked with the mullet and everybody's like in running for governor, president, and all this. It's just, how did you not going to notice this cat?
It was hysterical. So, well, listen, man, we'll let you fly here. Skin to Skin is out there on YouTube. And of course, all the music sites streaming and whatnot. And good luck with that. And hey, by the way, real fast, outside of, you know, I guess with Three Doors Down, you guys are just doing some Zoom writing. That's pretty much it with what's going on with Three Doors Down right now.
Well, yeah, I mean, we had shows lined up. I haven't heard anything about them, but, you know, we're just like every other band that is right now, just in limbo, because we just, you don't know this uncertainty of it. So the only thing that I know that we can do, like I said, is create music. I mean, if we can't go perform it live in front of people, at least we can create it and see, you know. Because like I said, we always write, everybody does. We write a bunch of bad ones, so we get the good ones. I'm like, well, let's go run these bad ones, get them over with. So let's get the good ones quick.
Right, there you go. All right, man. Well, listen, I'll give our best to everybody in the band and stuff. And thanks so much for the time, and good luck with this Skin to Skin.
Thank you, Meltdown. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Greg Upchurch today on the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown podcast. Got to thank him for taking the time. Of course, thank you guys for listening as well. That's pretty interesting stuff right there. He's had quite a career, and he is a pretty decent golfer. Don't let him fool you. No, he can definitely whack that ball. There's no question about that. But thank you guys so much for listening. Like I said before in the intro, I've got a lot of great interviews and great acts coming up here in the next couple of weeks. I don't want to say, because every time I say, I jinx it. As a matter of fact, I'm doing a blog every day at WRIF.com. I think as I record this, I'm on day 30 right now. So anyways, near one of the first few blogs, I mentioned all these artists I had locked and loaded for interviews, and I had to scrap all of them because of, you know, the whole circumstances around the quarantine and different things like that. Not that they couldn't talk on the phone, but they didn't really want us here in the station and what have you. So for that... And I've mentioned this numerous times. I jinx myself constantly when it comes to guests. But I have some of my favorites coming up here in the next week or so. One of which I was just sharing text message conversations with for about an hour this afternoon. Going back to stories about the Guns N' Roses Metallica tour. Different things like that. And he has a really interesting story coming up about one of the guests I have coming up later on in the week. Okay, that's all I'm going to say, because like I said, I've probably jinxed myself anyways. Hey, as always, five-star ratings, subscribe to the podcast if you like it, tell your friends about it, share it, the whole thing, and most importantly, thank you so much for listening.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.